الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمينAllahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim.In the world around us today, we are completely surrounded by all of these social networks. And you see that everyone, in some way, shape, or form, is connected to these networks. And the way these networks work is, it's interesting because the idea behind the network is thateach person has a relationship with a finite number of people. And so if one person can be connected with all the people they know, and somewhere in that connection, there's another person who also has a group of people that they know, and there's another person who has a group of people that they know, this allows for a web to develop amongst all ofessentially, what their goal is, all of humanity. So, for example, I develop some sort of social network, let's just say, and I convince a person to join. And that person's sphere is 10 people. So he convinces some of his people to join. And then each of those people who join, they have 10, 15, 20 people. So what you see is that this network eventually becomes viral.Now, the reason that they create these networks is because they want to attach all of humanity to one central system. And their purpose in doing so is, I mean, they'll tell you, on the surface, they'll tell you that the idea here is to be able to spread information amongst humanity and to be able to create societies and this and that. But in the end, this is all driven by profits. So the idea is that if I can create a network that can connect all of humanity,then I can go and I can sell access to that network so that people can deliver a message to all of humanity. And of course, that message is basically an advertisement, so that an advertiser can send a message to all of humanity. And that's what allows these networks to make money. That's what essentially drives them. So for example, I don't know, take anyone you want.Twitter, Facebook, all of these basically have the same model, which is that they get as many people as they can on the platform. And once they bring all these people on the platform, this then allows them to go off and go approach advertisers or people who are trying to send a political message at certain times or people who are trying to send other messages. And essentially what they do is they go to these advertisers and they say, we have 1 billion people on our platform.And all of these people are completely interlinked. And amongst this, within this platform, we can monitor all billion people at the same time, which is what they do, essentially. And then they say, look, among these billion, we can tell you that X number uses soap. X number uses dishwashing detergent. X number uses this and that and this and that. They have all this, you know, because of the networks are throwing off data all the time.So they go to these advertisers and they basically say, if you would like access to our network, we will grant you that access and that will allow you for a certain fee that will allow you to be able to send a message to all these people that you would have never been able to reach before. And that's essentially how it works. Now, all the participants, they're cheering. Yay, I got this for free. So they think that they're gaining something because they said, look, nobody's charging me anything. I can join the network. So I go, and not only that, but when I go, then I get my 10 friends, and then they get their 10 friends, and they get their 10 friends, and it becomes 1 billion in the end. It becomes exponential. But essentially, what they don't realize is that there's nothing free in life. They become the commodity themselves, the participants. The participants are the product. They are the ones being sold. The participants themselves are being sold. And they're being sold whom? To the people who want to deliver a message. So somebody wants to send you a message that you should dress a certain way. Somebody wants to send a message that you should use a certain soap. Somebody wants to send a message that maybe this would be a good toothpaste. So they pay a little bit of money and they gain access to the network. And that's essentially how these things are set up. Now, if you study I had the opportunity maybe 5 years, 4 years ago now, to sit in a lecture on an expert in these networks. And this was a technological expert at the University of Illinois. So they were giving a lecture on this, on the way these networks work. And I was just looking at the explanation of how these networks function, and I was just scratching my head. That, wow, subhanAllah, how it's such an intricate web, and how they get people to join, and how it traps people, because eventually it makes people feel that they cannot exist without being in the network because of the way that all of these relationships are developed. So eventually people almost feel like if I'm not on this network, I don't exist, because everything's happening on this network. They've transferred all the normal connections that happen between people, and they've replicated it on that network. And they do it in such a psychological way that it really mimics human interaction. Of course, the end goal for all of these people, I mean, they always start the same. They always start that, I want a better humanity, I want to do good, this and that. But in the end, it becomes a product. And in the end, the people become a commodity. And in the end, the advertisers are the ones that basically get access to this. Advertisers, politicians, etc. Okay, anyway, I'm not here to talk about networks. I just want to establish a paradigm. So the paradigm is that if people connect with one another, then by creating those links between one another, things can spread very rapidly amongst those people. That's the paradigm. Now, by the way, the opposite is true as well. The opposite is true as well. If you can disconnect people, then as you disconnect people, you can decrease the virulence and virality of what's spreading. Look at what is the number one thing that's happening today? Why are we all sitting in this funny pattern? Because they say that all of humanity is interacting with one another. There's 7 billion people on the planet, and there's this virus that's rapidly spreading amongst all of humanity. And everybody has a connection with somebody. They say that one high school student, and I think I shared this with you before, one high school student interacts with 100 people in a day. One high school student interacts with 100 people in a day. So now what they've shown is that, well, if you have something that you don't want to spread, and because humanity is so interlinked, if the only way to decrease the spread of that is to create distance between people. Because when you create distance between people, you cut off the links in the network. Now, that's the network of humanity. It's not a network that's for sale. But it's the way that you separate the movement of something harmful. Or why don't we say slow down and prohibit the movement of something that's harmful. So now you see that that this paradigm is so dominant amongst human beings that both examples exist. If people are all tightly connected in a network, then the ability to spread something rapidly becomes available to those who would like to spread whatever message they're spreading. And we see that every day. We see that on the social media. Somebody wants to say something, and if it's a hot topic, it'll fly amongst humanity. Everybody knows it before anybody knows it. And it's so fast. It's so fast. And at the same time, we have the opposite example in front of us where there's this virus. It's rapidly spreading. And it's so rapidly spreading because people interact with one another as part of their being human, as part of them being part of humanity, that the only way that they could come up with, or one of the ways that they could come up with slowing the spread was to say to people, break your networks. Break your networks. Don't interact with the people that you normally interact with. Don't sit with them for long periods of time. Create space between one another. Decrease interactions between one another. So again, highlighting this basic premise, which is that a tight connection between those between people is required in order to spread goodness amongst people. A tight connection is required between people in order to spread a message between people. Now, subhanAllah, that same principle exists in our deen, which makes sense. Which makes sense. For example, I'll give you a couple. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ, entered into Medina after the Hijrah, the very first piece of advice that he gave to the community, was, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshus salam, spread the salam. Ya ayyuhan nas, afshus salam. Now, there's some more pieces of advice which include feed the people, and pray at the time that people are sleeping. And then the Prophet ﷺ concludes the statement by saying that you will enter into Jannah bis-salam. All right, there's more words here. There's a longer hadith here. I'm just giving you the first piece of it, but I'm just trying to highlight a principle, which is that the first advice, and you think, the Prophet ﷺ is making one of the most important journeys of any people in the history of humanity. When the Prophet ﷺ arrives, his welcoming remark in the city that would become his home, his welcoming remark to the people is spread salam amongst yourselves. Now, why so? Because as people spread salam amongst themselves, they create a network. Now, if I say salam to person X, and then person X says salam to three other people, and those three other people say salam to those three other people, they create a network amongst one another that eventually can be used to send many other important messages. Namely, the entire sunnah could be transmitted through that. Essentially, that was what was happening at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Medina's social network was being established. And the salam was repeatedly encouraged. So the Prophet ﷺ, first advice, first statement, first words, right? There's multiple pieces of advice in the first statement, the welcoming statement. First words, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshus salam. O people, spread the salam. Now what happens? Like I said, somebody gives salam to somebody. People get excited. They give salam to a few other people. What's being established? The social network of Medina. Now people are abundantly giving salam. So what does that do? Number one, it brings barakah into the engagement. Because salam is the greeting of the people of peace. Salam is the greeting of the people of Jannah. Salam is the greeting of the angels. When they came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, they gave salam. You know the story, if you go back to the Quran, salam is a key greeting. So that's one benefit. They're bringing barakah. And number two, they're creating a social network. Now, why is that? Well, so let's give some more examples. How was that social network perpetuated? In another narration, a person came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked, "What's the best of Islam?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tut'imu at-ta'am, feed the people, wa taqra'u as-salam, and recite the salam." and recite the salam. And then the Prophet ﷺ specified in this particular narration, ala, upon man arafta, whomever you know, wa man lam ta'rif, and the one whom you don't know. So what does that mean? Give salam to every person you know, which I think everybody in this room has no problem with. We all do that all the time. And give salam or spread salam to the one that you don't know. Now that's something a little bit more challenging, right? Because if I don't know somebody, then it's harder to take the time out, to stop, to ask their name, to give salam. But here the Prophet ﷺ again reminds the believers of the importance of establishing that network. Now, and in here we get a little bit of more information. Don't only establish the network amongst the people you know, but distribute that network and connect as many people to this salam as possible. Why? Because eventually, as this network is being established, then when the Prophet ﷺ makes a statement, like a hadith, it gets pushed through the network. When an ayah is revealed, when a surah is revealed, it gets pushed through the network. When there's something encouraged, it gets pushed through the network. When there's something discouraged, it also gets a reminder gets sent through the network. So this is the mechanism that is not new. I mean, this technological, you know, establishment of these social networks, this is not something new. This isn't something that people just came up with. This is something that has existed historically in our deen in a much better way. In a much better way, which is that every person, every Muslim has a responsibility of engaging with everyone that they can within their sphere. Everyone that they can within their sphere. And it has to be the people that I know and the people that I don't know as well. So what that means is that when I'm in the masjid, I should have a basic connection of salam with every single person in the building. It means that with my relatives, I should have a basic connection of salam. With my neighbors, I should have a basic connection of salam. With anybody that I interact with, I should have some degree of connection with salam. Now, notice that the Prophet ﷺ did not make that initial advice contingent upon the Muslims, because the Muslims were a subset of the people living in Medina. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ first came to Medina, there were more non-believers than there were believers. Now, of course, once, you know, you got after about 2-3 years, the whole notion of idolatry disappeared in Medina. But initially, that was not the case. But one of the reasons that disappeared so quickly is because salam was being spread without condition. Connections were being made without condition. Effort was being made to connect as many people to the network as possible. So when something good came from Allah to the messenger, it got sent through the network and everybody heard about it. And everybody knew about it. And everybody benefited from it. And everybody saw the positive effects of that. So that is something that we need to learn from. What it means is that there needs to be a basic connection of love, peace, and concern with us and every single person in our domain. Every single person in our domain. Like I said, there should be no person in this masjid that doesn't recognize another person in this masjid. Now, what does that mean? So for example, look, if I look at everybody in the masjid and I can recognize every person in the masjid and I have a connection of salam with that person, it keeps them in the network. Right? At the worst, it keeps them in the network. They feel like they need to be in this network because that's human nature, to feel like I'm part of something bigger socially. And if, let's say, that I'm not able to connect with every person in this room because I have limited ability to interact with more than one person at a time, or I have limited ability to be able to learn everyone's name, each other person should be connecting independently with each other person in the network to create as many what they call redundancies as possible. And the people who are in the tech world, they probably have their own term for this, but these are redundancies. Maybe they're even called redundancy. I don't know. I'm not in that world. But the reality is that These are the multiple layers of connection that tie people into this web. And when there's so many layers of connection in this web, they become absolutely dependent on the network. Now, today, those networks are being broken up because, you know, and they're being replaced with something different, which it's a problem because we don't control. See, at the time of the Prophet, the Prophet was the one in control. And the Prophet had everybody networked with everybody. So now what comes from him goes through the network. See, the control point is very important because if you connect the whole world, but the control point is Twitter, then Twitter can send whatever they want, whatever they get paid to send. It could be a political ad, it could be a soap ad, it could be any, you know, whatever they decide is important, they become the control. But at the time of the Prophet and historically throughout the Ummah, the people of piety were in control because they were the ones encouraging the salam. They were the ones connecting other people with one another. They were the ones spreading love and peace and harmony. And that completely colored the message that was being sent to the world. But now what happens is that when people are on this network, they're not on the other network because their heads are always there. Such that two people are in the same house and nobody knows what the other person's doing. Because they've been disconnected from the family network, which is such a core piece of Islam, and instead they've been connected onto some other network of friends, of this, of that, and they get detached from the network, they get distanced, you know, Islamically distanced, they get Islamically distanced from the network. And when we try to send a message, it doesn't go through. Look, there's no such thing as one imam talking to all of humanity. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ was that, one imam, but there's not going to be any imam today that's going to be talking to all of humanity. That's not the way it works. Allah created people with different languages, with different backgrounds, with different interests, all right? I'm going to have a greater effect on the people who come from my profession or who come from my background than another person might have on some other background or circumstance. But what happens is that there's these nodal points in the network. You know what I forget what they call these people in these networks, influencers or connectors or whatever. You know, these people who tend to have like a little more effect than the rest of the people, right? So this pastor in a church brings his entire church onto the network, right? Which then they say, non-for-profit, free for you, this and that, you can spread your message. But they're not interested in any of that. They're not interested in any of that. They're interested in telling the advertisers, we have 6 billion active, 1 billion active users, and you know, 45% in this country, this percent in that country, etc. So yes, I mean, they have they create a reason for creating that network. They propose a reason for creating that network. But the reality is that we already have a network that we're part of. You know, how many networks can you be a part of? We already have a network that we're part of. Our deen is like a network. And this salam is the mechanism that we use to bring people into the network. So what that means is that, number one, every single person that we interact with, there must be a minimal degree of relationship, which is at least the salam. At least the salam. And the deen has so many benefits to giving the salam. So many benefits to giving the Islam. You know, so many benefits for signing members up to the network. You know that the person who begins the salam is free of pride. You know, there's a hadith to that effect. Just roughly translating it. The person who begins the salam is free of pride. And we know that there's paradigms for who's supposed to give salam. The young to the old, the children to the parents, etc. We also know that when two people give salam, and they shake hands, sins fall from their hands as long as they're connected in that social engagement. So many benefits, and we could keep listing them forever. But the point remains is that we have a responsibility to continuously connect one another in our own network. It's our own, you know, spiritual network, you can call it. And I mean spiritual, I mean global community, spiritual. So that every single person that I interact with, I should have an engagement of salam. Every person you interact with should be an engagement of salam. Every individual that you come across with, that you engage with, that's in your family, that no one else can reach but you, there should be a connection of salam. And what happens is through the barakah of all of the formation of that network, when a message needs to be sent, you know, this is the basic goodness. This is what we should be doing. This is what we should be avoiding. These basic premises of our deen, that gets perpetuated across the network. And that's a very important principle in our deen, and it's a highly neglected principle of our deen. I remind the brothers of this, and this is actually why I'm talking about this, because this is on my head constantly for the last few days, that like in this masjid here, or in your masajid, or wherever you go to pray, I mean, we pray here daily, it's so important that everybody recognizes everybody. Because I can tell you that just from my own personal sort of like, watching from the back of the room, back of the envelope calculation, watching from the back of the room, in any one prayer, there might be 50, 60, 70 people. All right. So, I sometimes ask the brother who's leading the prayer, give me a count after the prayer. Tell me how many people were here. So I have these little counts in my head. So then I look and I think about, okay, who are the people? Who do I recognize? Who do I not recognize? Sometimes there's 70, sometimes there's 90, sometimes there's 50. All right. Now I'm looking at all these people and I notice that every day there's roughly the same number, 70, 65, 70 for Isha, for example, but many of the people are different. And if you were to summate that across a week, or you were to summate that across 7 days, you find out that it's not 50, 60 people that come to Isha, it's 200, 250 people that come to Isha, but they come at different times at different points, depending on the circumstance that you find yourself in. So now the question is, how do you maintain those 250 people? So what does that mean? That means that we have a potential customer base. And again, I'm talking from marketing, but you have this potential customer base of 250 people, meaning there should be 250 people here at least every day. And those 250 should be bringing new people in every day. But we don't appreciate all the nuances. And somebody comes. Now look, this is the house of Allah. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put in their heart the desire to be here at random times. Sometimes it just comes random in people's lives. For example, somebody's undergoing a difficulty. They're thinking at home, what am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? And it comes in their heart, I should come to the masjid. Now that person comes once, that person comes twice. Maybe they don't come a third time. Who knows? But the moment that they come in, they're ours. When they come in, they're ours. That's the person that needs to be drawn into the community. And what's going to keep them here? If they come in and they don't know anybody and they disappear, then they feel like they came to the masjid, but we lost the opportunity to capture that. We missed capturing that opportunity. But if they walk in the door and there's four or five brothers and they're scanning the building, and not four or five brothers, the whole group here is scanning the building constantly and says, wait, subhanAllah, that's a new brother. And one, two people take the responsibility to give salam, that single salam brings them that much closer into the group, into the congregation, into the connection with Allah. And then what happens? They come back the next day. Or at least they begin to feel, this was a place that I was welcome. And maybe they don't come the next day, they come the third day. Eventually, when they get comfortable, they become regular. And when they become regular, then you have access to the 20 people that you would have never been able to touch except through them. It means that the message that's delivered in the masjid, the Quran that's recited, the goodness that's present, whatever statements are made and in the short reminders after Isha, those are now going to be perpetuated to that person's family and to perhaps those people's relatives. And that's an opportunity for us. And that's how we grow and build the community. And that was exactly what happened. Now, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that was exactly what happened. And you see that it's amazing that the Prophet ﷺ took Medina Sharif, and within a few years, there was no more idolatry. Everybody was a believer. Now, of course, from that arose a new problem of the hypocrites, and there's a long, lengthy, discussion about that. I don't want to go there. But the point remains that essentially idolatry had been wiped out in Medina. Because the salam, the peace, the constant connection, it opened up this network of the Prophet ﷺ being able to spread his message repeatedly, constantly, comprehensively, and it affected so many people. Now, in this day and age, we have the opposite. We want to be distanced. Now, I'm not commenting on the virus because the virus forces people to be distanced, but I'm just saying that the general tendency of the community, irrespective of the virus, put the virus away for a minute, the general tendency of the community is to say salam to the people that they know, to approach the people that they know immediately, and to not worry about, or have to have minimal concern with anybody else. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to everybody. Brothers and sisters. So we quickly see the people that we know, and then we just continuously, you know, we continuously engage with them, and everybody else is just kind of second nature or secondary. But Islam does not spread that way. The deen is not maintained that way. The network breaks down that way because that creates spiritual distance. And if there's spiritual distance, nothing goes viral. And we, as Muslims, can't afford that because we're already, we don't have the connections that we had when, you know, when people were in an Islamic, when people were existed in an Islamic society, everybody was naturally interfaced with everybody because you couldn't avoid it, right? We couldn't avoid it at that time or whatever, our forefathers or whoever, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, it couldn't be avoided. But here, the problem is that when people disconnect from network A, they invariably connect to network B. And network B then has the ability to push their message, which is often contrary to the message of goodness that we have. And now you see the message, you know, people say, oh my God, what's happening to my family? This is not the Islam that I was trying to bring in my family. I get these emails every day. Every day I get the same email. Oh, what's happening with my kids? What's happening with my spouse? What's happening with my parents? They're changing. They're not, you know, they're leaving. They're leaving some of the basic important tenets of deen. And what is it all predicated on? It's predicated on they're disconnecting from the network of deen and connecting with some other network that spreads fashion, whatever, whatever, whatever. And all of that eventually message gets to people. Because people are, they have ears and they have eyes and they capture what they find in the circumstances around them. It's not their fault, it's ours. People say this all the time. Oh, what a look at this person. Oh my God, how can this person be that way? Or how could this person, you know, take off their hijab or whatever it might be? It's not their fault. Has nothing to do with them. It's usually not their fault. It's usually ours. We didn't take the opportunity to connect them into, we didn't take the opportunity to make salam, to get to know them, to understand who they are, to connect them to ourselves, so that we could properly share the barakah of this deen. And there's some barakah that's shared silently, just through knowing a Muslim, and there's other barakah that's spread verbally by sometimes being able to say things which other people could never say. So the responsibility falls upon us. If Allah gives us something, it's not because we deserve it and other people don't. It's because Allah has created a test for us to see what do we do with the blessings that He bestows upon us and how do we engage with the others who are not given that blessing. Now, interestingly, listen, in both of those statements that I read earlier, the Prophet ﷺ also says to feed the people. Interesting. Give salam and feed the people. Now, yes, I mean, you know, linguistically you could say, oh, that's obvious. Feed the people, give salam. Okay, these are two things that you're giving. But there's some similarity as well. When we feed the people, do we run around to people and say, oh, I have food and you don't? And, you know, the reason you don't have food is because of this, this, and this. And I have food because I did all this and this. No, Allah gives us food. And Allah doesn't give other people. Allah gives somebody wealth and Allah takes wealth away from another person. And those imbalances that are created in society are tests. They're not permanent status. On the day of judgment, the hungry is not going to be raised hungry, and the wealthy is not going to be raised wealthy. In fact, the wealthy will be poor on the day of judgment, right? So this is not a model of status or achievement. It is a temporary, disequilibrium, a temporary disequilibrium that exists in society by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing two people. the hungry to ensure, to see, do they rely on Allah or do they ask from humanity? And the wealthy to see, do they share what Allah has bestowed upon them, recognizing that it's not theirs? Okay? So that paradigm is being established by the feeding of people, and then immediately, either before or after, depending on the particular statement, the idea of spreading salam also arises. It's similar. It's similar in the sense, to the extent that we as believers, what did I do? Or what did anybody in this room do to be here in this masjid right now? To have the sense to pray Maghrib when the vast majority of humanity around us doesn't even care. What did I do that makes me different from the other person? I didn't do anything. I can't go back and trace and say, I did A and I did B and I did C and this is why Allah has guided me. No. Allah guided me out of His mercy. Now, maybe there's some small things that we did that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found acceptable, but in the end, it was through Allah's mercy. And then the challenge isn't how many times do I pat myself on the back and say, I achieved A, B, and C, and how many times do I flex my muscle in front of my friends and show how strong I am. The challenge is whether I take this message and begin to impassion other people with it. That's the challenge of deen. If we think that we've been given deen, and so now we can just sit and relax and do whatever we want, and we're going to eat cake together, and we're going to celebrate A, B, and C, and that's it, that's the challenge of Islam, go to the grave, then that is just wool over our eyes. That is just wool over our eyes. That was not the understanding of deen at the time of the companions. The understanding of deen was that they took the fire that the Prophet ﷺ ignited in their heart of the love of Allah, and they went and they delivered it to every person they could engage with. And they initiated always with the salam. They initiated always with the salam. And this is the challenge that befalls us. And this is the opportunity, actually, that's present before us. So we have a responsibility to engage with every single person around us with this entry-level registration of salam. I have to know every person that comes into the masjid because that's my lowest hanging fruit. And then I have to know every person in my family and consistently engage in salam with them because that keeps them connected. Even just the salam, simple salam twice a year on Eid keeps people connected. You wouldn't believe it, but you ask these social networkers, how many times do they need people to get engaged? They don't need people to be engaged all day, all night. They just need people to be engaged with some degree of frequency so that they feel they're part of the network because it keeps the channel open between them and the network. So even just this mere keeping the channel open can be beneficial. It means that I have to engage with my neighbors. I have to take the time to register them to the network by giving them salam. It means that I have to engage with the people that sometimes I don't even know who they are. I might just drive by and see a Muslim, outside on the street somewhere and I just pull over and say salam. Even that much, and you know what that feels like when you go to a place where you don't know anyone, and all of a sudden you're on a bus and somebody stops you and says, Assalamu alaikum. It has an effect. Certainly has an effect. It has an effect when you feel that you're most isolated. When you go to a place where you don't know anyone, or you're traveling someplace where no one else knows you, and you feel a little isolated, when there's a person at the grocery store that gives salam, you get back in the car and the whole family's like, oh, wow, that person said salam, that person said salam. It has an effect. Now take that, and just imagine there's somebody that walks in this door today who doesn't necessarily know people in the building or doesn't necessarily know people in your local masjid, whichever masjid that might be. The salam has a huge effect. This is something that we need to be consistent and regular in doing. We need to look at every single person and use our opportunity so that we can leverage spreading as much salam as possible. And of course, that then opens up the connections that allow us to share something far greater. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to be amongst those who all spread salam, and may He make particularly grant us the tawfiq to spread salam amongst those we know and those whom we don't. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.